Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We continue to examine the sins of the wealthy as they are laid out before us in James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Now, it's very easy when we're talking about the sins of the wealthy to pile it on those rich guys, the 1%. They're the scoundrels. They're the reason for all of the problems that we have in America. And we don't want to get into that mode of thinking. There are wicked rich people, and there are wicked poor people. There are godly rich people, and there are godly poor people. And it is not that wealth in itself makes a person ungodly. We don't want to fall into the trap of this class prejudice, this class envy, which is so prevalent in our day, in which some elements of our society are trying to stir up rather than calm down. It seems to suit the interests of some to stir it up. And we don't want to fall into that category, but nevertheless, we have to be honest with Scripture, and the Bible does have some pretty scathing things to say about the wealthy. And when it does, particularly in a passage like this one before us in James chapter 5, it doesn't necessarily take the time to make the distinction between the righteous wealthy and the unrighteous wealthy. It just lumps them all together, but it is talking about a certain class of wealthy people who gained their wealth by dishonesty. That is who is in view. And we will continue looking at that in just a moment. Thank you for joining us on this Monday, August 27, almost September, but not yet. Monday, August 27. And I know you are mindful that we are dependent upon the gifts of God's people to maintain this Bible teaching ministry on this station. Well, here are the verses, and then we will go back and pick up where we left off on Friday, but I will read them. James chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived on earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Well, it begins, as we've already seen, with a warning of impending judgment, which is going to fall upon the ungodly rich, the ones who fit the category that is being described in these verses. Your miseries are coming. You may be enjoying life now. You may be raking in the dough now. You may be enjoying the better things of life now, that while many other people around you are struggling, but you better just get ready, because your miseries are coming, and they are going to be greater, far greater than you could possibly realize. And then James begins to list a number of sins that call for God's judgment, beginning with hoarding in verses 2 and 3, and then continuing with stealing in verse 4. But before he gets to the stealing, he makes clear that judgment is certain. You have heaped up treasures in the last days. The idea is you've heaped them up to face you in the last days. You've heaped up treasures for the day of final judgment. It's like the treasures that you've been hoarding and amassing, they're all piling up, piling up, piling up, and on the day of judgment, when Christ returns and you're called to the judgment bar of God, you're going to be facing God, and you're going to be standing in front of these heaps and heaps and heaps of treasures that are going to be a silent testimony for your condemnation. They won't look so attractive in that day. In fact, they will be a liability, because they will be testimony to your hoarding and testimony to your dishonesty, testimony to your callous heart, testimony to your unwillingness to give to others, testimony to your lack of compassion. They will be testimony against your unrighteousness, that you have sinned against great light. They will be heaped up. These treasures will be heaped up for the last days. But having said that, he goes on now to the second sin that calls for judgment, the first one being the sin of hoarding, the sin of piling up treasures instead of channeling them. We talked about that on the broadcast Friday, and I think maybe even Thursday. Instead of channeling them, instead of being a conduit to direct these treasures to worthy objects of help and concern and support, whether it be related to the work of the gospel and to the direct interests of Christ's kingdom in regard to establishing gospel outposts across the world, which are of great importance, and helping gospel workers to be involved in these things. And what is equally important is helping poor people who need help and deserve some help. Deserve in the sense that they are not lazy, they are not wasteful. It's not only the rich some that are wasteful. Poor people can be tremendously wasteful as well. Rich people may be wasteful by hoarding it, piling it up and hoarding it. And we talked here about the grain that rots in the field and in storage rather than being given to somebody, that kind of miserly spirit. But poor people sometimes are just as bad about wasting resources. I read recently that several more states are considering changing the welfare laws so that welfare money cannot be used for gambling and for strip clubs and a few other things, I think alcohol, as now it often can. I guess states' laws vary from state to state, but as it often can. And I'm looking at this article and I'm thinking, here are people who are poor enough to qualify for public assistance, and what do they do with it? Do they buy food? Do they buy shelter? Do they buy clothing? Do they take care of their children? No, they wasted on strip clubs. And what else did I mention there that was mentioned in the article? That's what they're wasting it on. They're being every bit as wasteful as a rich guy, and many times these are the people who are complaining and condemning the rich. They're the ones who are out agitating and sometimes even demonstrating against the 1%, those filthy rich bankers who have ruined our country and don't feel any responsibility themselves for wasting other people's money, wasting taxpayers' money. Somehow, if it comes from the government, it doesn't belong to anybody. It's just it's free. It's candy. It's Santa Claus. It's pennies from heaven. And pennies don't go very far anymore. What attitudes? But we're not talking about the poor in this passage. We're talking about the rich. So back to the rich. And the rich have piled up their riches for the day of judgment. But not only Are they guilty of hoarding and callousness and lack of concern and compassion for others? But they are guilty of stealing from the poor. That's pretty despicable. The rich stealing from the poor? But that's what he's talking about. Verse 4, indeed the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. That, of course, is God Almighty. The Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. The Lord is talking about his power, his almighty power. Their cries, as they cry out for justice, as they cry out for help, as they cry out in anguish, as they have been cheated out of their wages, their cries have reached the ears of Almighty God, who has all power and all knowledge, and he hears their cries, and you, Mr., you, Mrs., you, sir, you, madam, are going to stand before God someday and be judged, and the cries of those that you have stolen from and defrauded have reached his ears, and you're going to wish in that day that you had been kind to your laborers, not cheated them. This sort of thing, of course, goes on a lot. I've seen it, as you have too, in our day. In our day, it seems to me like one of the categories of people who get cheated most frequently are illegal immigrants. Now, let me be very quick to say that I agree that an illegal immigrant is, by definition, a lawbreaker. That's what illegal means. They are here illegally. They have come into the country in violation of the law. However, that does not give you permission, moral and ethical and God-ordained permission, to cheat them, to take advantage of them, to hire them to work for you and then not to give them all of their wages, to hire them to work for you and then to find some pretense to cheat them out of their wages, to hire them to work for you and then to subtract all kinds of charges from their legitimate pay. You're going to subtract this and you're going to subtract that, you're going to subtract the other, knowing full and well that it's cheating them, that it's dishonest, that you are not treating them fairly, but also knowing well and good, knowing full well, that they're not going to do anything about it because they can't. They're illegal. So who are they going to complain to? Are they going to go to the police and say that man has cheated me out of my wages, knowing full well that if they do, they are targeting themselves to be caught and deported? You know that. They know that. So it gives you an easy opportunity to cheat them, and you think you're getting by with it, ho, 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 and enriching yourself at their expense. You're not only hiring cheap labor, probably cheaper than you could hire legal labor, but you're then paying them even less than you agreed to pay them. You are cheating them doubly in this way. Maybe the first one isn't cheating, but the second one certainly is. You're stealing from them. You may seem to be getting by with it. It may seem to be enriching you, but their cries come up to the ears of God Almighty. He's going to deal with you. I don't think you've struck a very good bargain there. I don't think you've been very shrewd there. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.